is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Before you ask, we shall give you the gift of Way Back Wednesday, which is songs pre-2009 that have baby, child, children, kid, or the like in title, as we discussed yesterday.
Wait a minute.
I'm just going by what we discussed yesterday.
Does it have to be in the title, or can the song be about a baby, a child, or a
kid? I'm not going to be picky about it. If it's in the artist, if it's in the song, if it's in the lyrics.
He's saying that because he had Kid in Play, or Kid Rock, I mean. Right? And it had nothing to do with a kid, just in the artist name.
Is that
I'm
the
with
role?
You, though. No, I'm with you, though. That's how it's been. Yeah. That's how it's been. But, okay, I'm still working on my list. I said I was going to be a gentleman.
You actually did.
And let the ladies go first.
Ha.
And I did that. But I have a question.
We got answers.
On my list, I have Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Does that...
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
No child, kid, children, or otherwise.
The whole
song.
Is it
in the lyrics?
Yeah, the kid is not my child. That's the whole point of the song.
Kid's not my son.
Whatever. Did you just dump me?
Could be like that was my mom calling.
Your mom's calling from Jersey?
Yeah.
Could be like a planet. So it could be the kid is not my son. Or moon.
But what
or
about
Saturn?
The word kid? Even if the kid is this planet.
Small goat.
You know what? I'm going with it. I don't give a crap. If I get disqualified, freaking well.
I mean, the penalties have gone up. So if you're punished for something like being disqualified, it has ramifications that could go on for years.
In a big, big way, so.
Yeah, be aware of that.
Well, I will, I'm working on my list now, so I will have it by 3 o'clock, so.
Okay.
There's that.
So what else is going on? Anything in the last 24 hours that we would have, should have, or could have missed?
Well, last night I did my second workshop at the Houston Improv, where I'm just helping, not teach comedy, but just kind of impart what I've learned over 6 years to anyone that wants to listen to it. It's not like I'm telling people how to be a good comic or a bad comic or anything like that. I'm just saying this is what I've learned. This is what my mentors like Andy Huggins and Billy D. Washington and Ed Blake and John Wessling have taught me in 6 years. So, because there's really a void in this city right now. There's like when I was coming up, there were guys that helped us, and there's really not that right now. So that's why when the Houston Improv was like, we want to do a workshop for the comics locally to kind of help. I was like, I'll do it. I mean, if no one else will do it. So that's been cool the last 2 weeks. And then after the workshop, there was an open mic.
Oh.
So after the open mic, it normally goes from 8 to 10 at the Houston Improv, but they cut it early. They stopped it at 9 o'clock because Houston's own Ali Sadiq was on Bring the Funny last night. So they had a watch party at the Houston Improv for Ali because his spot was being aired on Bring the Funny last night. And if you missed it, he killed it, obviously. And he advanced to the next round. So it's pretty cool having some Houston representation. Yeah. Even in a, you know, just like when America's Got Talent 2 years ago had Andy Huggins. It's always cool to have representation from Houston, not just in comedy. If there are singers, right? Like the Sufferers have been, you know, huge nationally. Mm-hmm. So when you see bands like that or you see comics like this getting that kind of run, it's always cool. So it was an interesting and fun night last night.
American Idol, you think about that. There were Houston contestants from the Houston area. And you pay more close attention when you get someone in your own backyard that has a chance to make it big. I was going to ask you about that Bring the Funny show because, you know, like I said, I remember the show Make Me Laugh back in the day.
Right.
But this is kind of like a more modern version of that. Just get your thoughts on that because, obviously, it's your game.
Yeah, I had the chance to submit for it, and I didn't. I think that a large part of this business, whether it's what we do in radio or comedy, is self-awareness. And while I would love to think that I'm ready, I'm probably not. And so you have to have some self-awareness to say, am I really the funniest person on that show? Am I going to be the funniest person on
in
that show?
Case,
and
though.
on this show. Or...
In this case, no. But I mean, I think once you get out of the pressure that we bring to the table, Nick and myself,
yeah, it's really
difficult.
You've
kind of just spread your wings.
It's really hard for me to shine with you two because y'all are comedic geniuses, and I fully recognize that. But no, it's you have to have some self-awareness. And I was like, you know what? I got the information. I could have submitted, but I didn't. Maybe this time next year, if I think I'm ready and there's something, I'll do it. Or
yeah, I think
America's Got Talent. I think I mentioned to you guys, I'm talking to a manager who has connections with America's Got Talent. So that might be something down the road I explore. But for now, when you look at guys like Ali Sadiq that are on the show and Kristen Key was on the show, who's a headliner, and there's just a lot of funny people out there. So I was like, eh, no. But I'm kind of disappointed in the show overall.
Okay.
Because it's, while I do applaud what they're doing, because I think for a long time my thought about comedy was I kind of just had it in a box where it was stand up and everything else is stupid. And since then I've kind of expanded that and changed my thoughts on it. So it's good to see sketch comedy, prop comedy, musical comedy. It's good to see all these different dynamics and genres of comedy that are brought to the forefront of the show. But I'm just a good old stand up. I like stand up comedy. That's my favorite. So when I see some of the sketches and some of the sketch groups and improv groups, I'm like, well, good. That's good. They're getting the exposure. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it just doesn't make me laugh like stand-up comedy does.
Cool.
And even then, some of the comics that they have on there, I'm like, oh. Yeah. I watch them, and I'm like, okay.
That, yeah, like, I saw the end of the first show, and I was just like, and then they moved the guy on to the next round, and I was like, really?
There was a couple last night that I was watching, and one of them advanced, and one of them didn't, or two of them didn't, but I was watching and I'm thinking, see, that's where self-awareness comes in because they weren't ready. They just, not that they weren't funny. It's just, it's a whole thing. It's the polish of the act. It's the jokes. It's the delivery. It's everything. It's stage presence. It's self-awareness on stage. It's, you know, the crowd and all those factors go into it. Like just the jokes itself is a part of it, but it's really only 50%. And you would think that if you have great jokes, that's the whole battle, and it's really not. So to see some of these comics up there getting that opportunity, I'm happy for them because that's good that they got a TV credit. But a lot of them, I'm like, yeah, you just weren't ready, and that's how people will remember you. And now that's your first impression to a lot of America.
Sure.
So I try to be self-aware about that. But it's been – I mean, if I were rating the show 1 to 10, I'd give it like a 6 just because of all the other acts. But when you get guys like Ali, it gives the show a ton of credibility. Sure.
So. I mean, and the bottom line is, I mean, you got to know your role. I mean, if you're a B team member and you stay on the B team until you finally elevate your game to be an A team.
That's right.
That's the way you do things.
That's
you
correct.
Know, the junior varsity to the varsity, so to speak. And then, Nick, how was your evening last night? Because it seemed like it was quiet for a while.
How's your blood pressure? Because I feel like things got a little salty.
Nah, house. It was just a tweet, guys. I know what you guys are referring to. It's just a tweet.
I like it.
Just my feeling.
I like it too.
Not trying to have a rant on the air or anything about it, but there's a bunch of keyboard warriors, and they know who they are. Look, everybody who I've mentioned that I had a beef with on this show, they know who they are. You guys know. If you're a real 97.5er, if you're a real suspect, you know who I'm talking about. So I welcome any back and forth if they have the balls to come at me. So,
well, you got a little fired up like I did a few weeks ago. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're all entitled. You can only take so much sometimes, and we're all entitled to our opinion. But in a lot of ways, you mentioned it. There's keyboard warriors out there that all think that they are quote unquote experts or self-proclaimed experts in their field. And in a lot of ways, in a lot of cases, you know, we all play fantasy football too. Does that mean that we're all experts at the NFL? No.
Right. So, I mean, it was just a tweet. Like, I really
the
don't
shade.
Care. I think the people that know who it's directed at, they know who they are. You know, okay. They know who they are.
All right. So with that being
Was there anything specific that sparked it?
Yeah. Recent published posts on whack-ass blogs was one of the reasons. But yeah, you know.
It is one of those dynamics that I find to be really interesting about this business. So, you know, like a lot of people will talk to us and be like, well, how do you get started in radio? And it's like everybody's journey is different. Like, Nick, you grinded. And
right.
Paid your dues.
I didn't have a traditional approach at all.
Right. I won a contest and grinded on Sundays.
Right.
Joel was, you know, you started with the Rockets or the Trailblazers, ended up with the Rockets, director of broadcasting. And so we all kind of arrived in different ways. Some people go to small markets. And then I think the same is true for writers. And you've got to start somewhere. But I think that the difference is when... The difference is not everybody can start a radio station. Now, you can start a podcast.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but you don't, and the same is true. Not everyone can start a an online, like the Athletic or something like that. But anyone can start a blog.
A new service.
But anyone, yeah, a new service. That's a great, yeah. But anyone can start a blog, or anyone can write an article. Anyone can go from fan to, quote, expert just by publishing stuff and picking up a few followers.
Sure.
And it's funny because most people don't know. So when you come out and you say, I write about the Rockets, then everyone goes, oh, well, he must know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Nope.
And then you see them and they're fans that have a fan blog, basically. And it's like, yeah, that's not how that works.
But see, here's the thing.
Anyone can claim to be an expert nowadays because of the internet, and people just believe it. And I don't want to shoot shots at anyone specifically, but when you start talking about critics and you know, people that are we know when you get in this business that we're going to be criticized. We were talking about when we were shooting videos for Sports Map today. You just know that 50% of the people are going to like you, 50% of the people are not going to like you. And you accept that, and you try not to dwell on the people that don't like you, but it's human nature. We talked about this before when I was doing the podcast, the 15. It's that negativity bias. You could get 1,000 people that say they love you, and then the one person that says they don't, you fixate on it. But it's become more prevalent because everyone has a voice now because of Twitter.
That's what I was going to say. The social media digital aspect
has changed
everything. And it changed everything for the negative because now, to your point, and this isn't just for sports, it's for broadcasting, it's for politics, it's for everything else, where people believe because they have an outlet and they have an audience based on their followers that they've self-proclaimed themselves to be an expert in their field. It used to be that the radio and TV guy was Rudy Martsky from USA Today. And if you wanted the local one, then it was David Barron. But now everybody thinks that because they're a fan, right, because you listen, that you can be highly critical and shoot your shot. Just like with the Rockets you mentioned, or any of the Texans sites or anything like that. Because you're a fan and you watch the team, and because in your bio you say certain things, you think you're an expert. You want every one of your followers to think you're an expert. But the bottom line is, if we really just started comparing resumes and background and why you think or what qualifies you to be an expert, it's totally different. Because most of the blog sites have pom-poms and jerseys, and they don't have the credibility to say, I carried a media pass. I didn't cheer. I did interviews. I wrote stories. I did this TV or this, you know, and I did it for a consistent basis to where I was able to get information that people wanted. That's a whole lot different than saying, man, the Rockets were screwed by the referees again tonight, man. Yeah. You see that?
I mean, my goal is to have fun, but I am pretty fed up with it. But to your point about 50% of the people are going to like you and 50% of the people are not, that's one thing. The other thing is when you see me in person and you talk about how good or how nice I am or good on the air, and then when you go to Twitter, you start talking all that noise. And there's two people in particular. I think y'all know who both I'm talking about. The other one is the blonde female on 610 on the afternoon drive. Okay? Don't come up to me in person and say, oh, I listened to the show, and then call me an a-hole on Twitter. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's disrespectful. I wouldn't do that to you. Don't do that to me. That's the problem I have with it.
Own it, right?
Own it. Don't come up to me and say you like me and then go on Twitter and start talking crap. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't do that to anybody.
Yeah.
So that's why I went at those guys. And if they wanna come back and forth, by all means, dude. We have a good boss in AJ Hoffman. He does a lot of stuff and he stirs it up, but he gives me the freedom to speak. So by all means, come at me because I'm tired of it.
It's so interesting because in the, you know, we talk about critics, and there's movie critics, there's TV critics, yeah, there's radio critics, and some of them nowadays, or a lot of them, are self-appointed. They haven't. Back in the day, if you were going to write about a team, you had to go to college, or you had to get a break, you had to intern at a paper or something like that. And eventually you might get a column or something like that. And dude, now any swinging penis with a keyboard is a writer.
You're right.
And it's like, oh my God, most of you guys, there was a reason that the old process worked so well, because it weeded out all the garbage. And now
The
garbage has a voice.
It made you work. You went from intern, as you said, to byline writer, where you just wrote the headlines short blurb.
That's right.
Then when you were good enough and you paid your dues and did that for a while, then you followed the team and were able to do kind of the news and notes after the columnists got done with their column. And then when you got to that, then you became a columnist, and then you got all this attention. And now it just seems like, and the bad thing is, is, too, then you get writers that within 5 seconds of writing a column think, I can do radio and TV.
Yeah.
Because I see Stephen A. Smith. Because I see these guys that were writers and columnists that are now doing it as, from a broadcast level. Well, go ahead and hit your cue one time and try and tell us, you know, how you got 10 seconds to summarize something and fit it in 9.5 instead of 15 and change.
Yeah.
It's a skill, man.
It's wild, man. It's the Wild West. It's interesting.
I really didn't want to expand that long. My bad. I didn't want to, to be honest with you. But it's just ridiculous. Yeah. It really is getting ridiculous.
Is Nick salty because he didn't make the Chronicle's list of top 10 fittest media members?
That's
if I didn't make the top 10 baddest media members, then I'd be mad.
We got to get into that next.
We need to. Joel Osteen's a radio guy locally?
Oh, that pissed me off so bad.
Paul Gallant.
Yeah, and I'm a preacher. Get out of here.
All right, we're just getting started. If you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776, HRP Lister Line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. We got a little off track, but hey, I'm hour number one. Songs involving children, babies, kids, because of the dialogue we had yesterday when I was telling you, oh, what a roller coaster it is trying to figure out a name for our child on the way.
Yeah.
In my bad experiences of the past. So that's where the topic came from. So it was a legit topic this week. We like it. We'll go with it.
You're welcome. I'm a genius.
Barry will be hour number three.
Oh, lazy ass Nick.
He's still working on his.
Quick correction. I meant the blonde female on 790 who co-hosts the show with Adam. I said the blonde female on 610. My bad. They don't employ a blonde female. That would be 790, the afternoon drive, the co-host of Adam Wexler. That blonde female.
Got it.
Roger that.
Needed that clarification. Appreciate that.
Roger that. So there was this article Keith had texted and said, look, why is Nick so mad? Because he didn't make the 10 fittest radio personalities.
Like I said, the 10 fattest radio personalities? Then I'd be mad if I missed that cut.
They would have to go. I mean, you might as well. Actually, it makes sense to do the 10 fittest because everyone else in radio is fat.
Yeah.
When you look at this list.
It's ridiculous.
It's kind of silly. And they don't even have a lot of radio personalities on this list. So there's 34 on the list total.
Really?
So they just said, why do you have, here's the problem with the Chronicle. And I love my boy Jerome, and there's some good writers at the Chronicle, but boy, they do some dumbass stuff.
Thirsty stuff for just clicks.
Yeah, first of all, Marcy DeLuna is the one that always does these dumbass articles. She is the one exception to what we were talking about earlier, where you get these idiots that get a blog. Somehow she fell through the cracks and actually got on the Chronicle because she writes the dumbest, most asinine articles of anyone I've ever seen, right?
Like if you do the fittest columnists to write a column for the Houston Chronicle,
wow.
I don't
fit.
Think she's going to be mentally fit enough is where I was going to keep this thing going on a regular basis.
So the title of the article is the 10 fittest radio personalities in Houston, but then she goes on to list 34 personalities, including TV and otherwise. What kind of dumbass, like who wrote the headline? Oh, you should have just said the top 34 media fittest media members in Houston, not top 10 radio.
Well, but you
that
remember,
makes no
you
sense.
I don't think she ever responded to you, but you reached out the first time she did the, it's not a column, it's a click on these pictures to try and get me popular and get the Cron liked of TV people. And that list was more than 10.
So here's who she has. So she's got Kiati Brown, and that's my guy. Hardbody Kiati is what he is on like Instagram. He's over at 97.9. I met him because he gets his haircut with J-Ro at Current Cuts. And Kiati and I were like instantly like buds because we're both in radio. And it was
both
like
ripped.
We're both ripped. Yep. Yeah. We both realize our hairlines matter. Or at J Rose, but yeah, like that. So, and I'll tell you what, I've sat there in the chair on my big fat ass and watched Kiati work out with Arian Foster and other Texans, and that dude deserves to be number one. That dude works out and pays a lot of attention to it. They have KG Smooth from Magic 102. I have no idea who that is. But they have a picture of him with his shirt off, and I think you would approve, Joel.
Okay. Nick likes them when they're cut.
Number three, Shantae Williams from 93.7 The Beat. I don't know who that is.
Have no idea who that, nope. that is.
Number, oh, hell. Now, of course, the Chronicles website wants to act up. Number four, or number five. What the hell is this? This is, number four on the list. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Victoria and Joel Osteen.
Ridiculous.
Are the two of the fittest members of radio in this city, and they do Sirius XM. They don't even do local radio. So that's stupid. Kevin Kline from the new 93Q. No idea who that is. They have a picture of him running stairs. Okay. Jay Mack from 97.9 The Box. Dana Tyson from Sunny 99.1.
Figure skating.
Tyson, this is what they say about her fitness. Tyson wakes up daily at 3:30 a.m. to exercise. Her morning workout routine includes planks and wall sits. She enjoys skiing with her family.
So there's a resume that says top 10.
You've got, after her, it was, I've seen this dude before, Tim Tuttle.
I played Pee Wee baseball with him.
On 93Q?
We grew up in Shorewood, Wisconsin together.
Really?
Yep, Timmy.
I wouldn't pick a fight with him, Timmy's I'll tell
big,
you that.
He's a big dude.
The big boy. I'm not going to say anything mean about him. It punched me in the face. Keisha Nicole from 97.9 The Box. A lot of 97.9 The Box. What is it with that station?
I mean,
fitness?
I saw one on-air host on Vegas Radio Row. I mean, he didn't look out of shape, but he didn't necessarily look in shape.
From 97.9?
Yeah, I don't want to say. I don't know his name, man. He's a Hispanic dude that always wears an Astros cap. I don't know. It's not Mad Hatter, I don't think.
No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, too. Gary Lynn took a
He's always
with him
recently, he's always at the Boxing Radio Rows every time we go to Vegas. He's a really good dude. He's a really good dude. I just don't know his name.
I don't think I've ever met a bad person from 97.9.
No, they seem really lax, man.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Yeah.
Professional. Like, I've never had a run-in with anyone from the box that's been anything. And all right, so the last one.
Mm-hmm. You're tapping the console.
Number 10 on radio, Sarah Pepper.
She's a runner, Barry. You brought it up, so you got to go.
Have you seen?
Oh yeah,
Sarah Pepper.
I'm
in person too.
Interacted with Sarah in person. Yeah. Lots.
Maybe the nicest person in the city. Without a doubt. I worked something with her with the MS-150.
I'd put her in the top 10 nicest people in this city.
I'd say she is. Like, just meeting her, she was absolutely
super nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting her on a top 10 fittest list in this city. How do you leave off Seth Payne? How do you leave off Booker T? How do you leave off, I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it, Paul Gallant. Like, there are guys in this town... That, like, look, no, I don't know who the old lady was that figure skates or whatever, or gets up at 3:30 and does wall sits, but I feel like Booker T might be a little more fit than her. What a stupid-ass article. And then they start listing TV people because they realized, you know what, we don't care. We don't care about what we put out there, so we're just going to just post a bunch of hodgepodge on this radio article. And good Lord.
Let me just add one thing
so
to that,
dumb.
If I may, because you mentioned the TV as well, which was another fluke list that you mentioned. My wife is currently pregnant, but my wife has run 16 marathons, qualified and run Boston, and could probably outrun anybody that they considered, but yet they put Dominique on the list and others, and some of the others I didn't know. I started watching, I'm going, oh my, are you kidding me? So what are your qualifications again? That's what I want to know.
Obviously nothing. It was... Qualifications were, are they listed in the media? I bet, you know what it is this Marcy chick or whatever her name is. I've closed the article already. Was it Mary or Marcy?
Close
whatever.
Enough.
If she met you and she likes you,
yep.
You go in the article.
No
I
doubt about it.
I guarantee you.
Let me just say this.
She's probably a big 97.9 The Box fan, and who isn't? But
and she goes to church at Lakewood.
Yeah.
And there's half your list.
That's ridiculous.
The fact of the matter is,
Marcy,
if that
quit,
list
quit
was
writing,
submitted on a Wayback
Marcy,
Wednesday,
quit
DQ'd.
Writing.
DQ'd and killed on Twitter if they were on a Wayback Wednesday with that kind of list.
It was awful.
Get out of here. First half hour gone. Second half hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday. Songs pre-2009 that have child, kid, children in the theme, in the title, in the artist, in the neighborhood, in the vicinity. And with that, whoever wins this week will be nominated for Kron's top 10 list of best and most worked out songs.
Top 10 list of list making. Top 10 list makers. Guess what? Guess who's not making the list of top 10 list makers? Marcy DeLuna. She's terrible at it.
These songs that will win this week's Way Back Wednesday will be considered some of the most fit songs in the history of songs in Houston.
Joseph Martinez had a great point. He said, damn, Rahill isn't on that list? Yeah, 1,000%.
Yep, big time.
Man, let me tell you what. Half of the people that made that, I bet you Rahill could outrun that old lady on the list. I guarantee you Rahill could outrun that old lady.
Or the fridge?
No. Raheel's fit, bro.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the fact to make it fair. Because otherwise, Raheel's going to run circles. Here's the other thing.
Rahill, Booker T, Seth Payne. I mean, come on, man.
To give you the accuracy of the TV list, Nuno wasn't on the list.
Yeah. Who's the big dude from 13 that always his jackets don't fit? Anchor?
Oh, Eric Barajas.
Is that it? Yeah.
He looks like he just got out of a
Big Swole. I just call him Big Swole.
Venice Beach.
I don't know his
lifting
name.
Lifting competition, Eric Barajas.
I don't think he was on the list. How's Big Swole not on the list? Was he?
Yeah, I think he made it.
Okay. Well, I'm not going back. She's not getting no more clicks out of me.
I can't.
That's enough.
You did tweet to her and she never responded.
Yeah, I did. That's because she doesn't have any integrity. She doesn't care about the garbage that she puts out. She just wants clicks. So somebody said, hey, Barry, I bought tickets to Joe Rogan at the Toyota Center. Is that something you're interested in going to?
Where is he performing?
Shut up, Joel.
The Toyota Center. That's a suburb.
The Toyota Center.
Thank you.
You know, not really. I love what Rogan does. I respect what Rogan does. One, I don't really want to see comedy in an arena like that.
Big venue?
I would love to perform there because I'm all about that money. I'm all about those eyeballs on my comedy, but I don't want to go see comedy at a place like that.
Dollar bills, y'all?
I like the intimacy of a comedy club.
I bet you do.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
The crevices of the backstage area.
Yeah. I like that. So,
the request list in the green room.
I mean, I went to Jones Hall and saw Louis C.K. before he got creepy, or before we found out he was creepy. Right. And that was even like, I liked it. Because I like Louis C.K. as a comedian, not as a person, but as a comedian. But I didn't even like it at Jones Hall. It was a little too big.
I'm going to tell you this, and it's a long way for you to go. And I kept telling Nick this. I still have yet to be in Smart Financial Center, but I've heard nothing but great things about it. And we got to go. We got to go check something out there. Because I heard one of the neat things about their venue is, based on the size of the show, they can conform the bowl to like from 1,500 seats to like little less than like 7,500 to 10,000. So the intimacy will be there no matter, depending on who's performing, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, but it might be intimate, but if you and Nick start making out, I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's like, it's adjustable, and it's like, I think 6 or 7, just about the number that you said, Joel.
Yeah.
You can adjust it to.
So let's pick an upcoming Monster.
You gotta look at it.
Monster X.
Did you say Monster Energy Girls?
Monster. Whoa, you got a chub already, didn't you?
It's Monster Nick sound effects.
Papa Roach. You want to go see Papa Roach July 28th?
Pass.
Clint Black and Trace Adkins.
Only if they sing It's Football Time in Texas.
Oh, An Evening with Lyle Lovett.
Pass.
What? He's got that one good song.
Don't Drink and Drive.
I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to say it wrong, but whatever. I don't care.
Well, you said Toyota Center, this segment. So
Dunamis Revival Fire Conference.
No clue.
Dunamis. Dunamis?
I think Dunamis sounds right.
Dunamis?
I'll go with it.
Rascal Flatts!
Nope.
Well, August Nick, 29th. Nick. I don't know why I say it like that. Nick loves him some Rascal Flatts.
Yeah, Nick likes him some country.
Not enough to go see him or pay for a ticket, to be honest with you.
No one said the latter was going to happen regardless.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pay money for Rascal Flatts.
Really?
No.
I might have to go to this one. The B-52s.
Nope.
I dig the B-52s. Nope. That's good. That's good quality. That's good quality music right there.
Well, you know, the Love Shack is a little old place where we can get together.
Special special guest OMD in Berlin.
Okay. Okay.
That's a good little concert.
Nick, quick. OMD stands for?
I don't know.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knew that.
Who is Rhett and Link? I have no idea who that is.
Pass.
They're there. And then Mark Knopfler?
Mark Knopfler, former lead singer Dire Straits.
Oh.
With lots of big hit songs that you were familiar with besides Walk of Life.
I don't.
Oh, you remember.
Oh, Bill Maher's there. Don't okay. care. No. No. Oh, Lenny Kravitz. Now that one might
Lenny
be a
Kravitz
good one.
Lenny Kravitz is bad.
Okay. Wu-Tang.
Not bad.
October 6th.
For sure.
Are we
totally
doing this?
I would totally go to that
Are
one.
We going to Wu-Tang?
I'm down.
Wu-Tang or the 3 days later, Greta Van Fleet? I'd be down for
either. I'd be down for that too.
Yeah, but Wu-Tang really, that would be, that tickles my fancy.
Like Lisa wanted to take her mom, Gladys Knight was in town. They had some, they have like a lot of the olders or has-beens and things like that too. But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, look, if we tell them we're going to kind of, we want to review the building and things like that, we can make this happen.
Y'all, December 4th, y'all want to go to the Hip Hop Nutcracker?
Yeah.
No.
But we could get a chestnut latte on the run.
Here's one that actually I would go to, but unfortunately it's sponsored by another radio station. Sponsored, which they don't necessarily compete with us, but Magic 102 has, it's called A Funky Good Time, November 2nd. Featuring Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, I'm in.
Cameo.
I'm in.
The Dazz Band.
I'm in.
And more.
I am in.
Really?
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yes.
Oh, SOS Band.
Oh.
Rose Royce.
Oh.
And Lakeside. Oh, I'm in. Zap.
Oh, Roger Troutman. Over. Oh, wait, we got to be careful.
Over.
Don't pull a whole journey with different singers than Steve Perry. But if we get Roger Troutman and Zap,
good Zap,
that puts us over the top.
Oh, I'm totally in on that.
Yes.
I would do that and go to Wu-Tang.
Can you imagine the people watching?
Oh, my God. At a funky good time?
Oh, yeah. Peeps bringing out old outfits.
Dog.
Yep.
You going to go to that with us, Nick? You wouldn't know a single song.
We're on
I'll go, though.
What night of the week is that?
What the hell is this music? That is November 2nd. So let me pull up a calendar here, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, Nick's going to hear Roger Troutman and Zap and go, that's auto-tune.
Yeah.
It was before auto-tune.
November 2nd is a Saturday.
Oh, we're in!
Done. Done.
Oh!
Done. Now I need to pull some strings, because somebody was texting when we were talking about 97.9. They said that 102 and 97.9 are owned by the same people. Okay. So now I'm just going to reach out to Kiati and be like, hey, man.
Yep. There you go.
Can I get options for us, too, with the building. Can I get a couple tickets there? Because I don't want to have to pay.
That's what I'm saying.
We're big-time radio celebrities. We make top 10 lists.
We're
going to
publicize the building, the venue, the event.
True.
So they want that kind of fire.
We'll bring, you know what? We'll even do them a favor and bring in Zap on do an interview.
We'll introduce him. Yeah. And our Way Back Wednesday will be artists performing.
Yes!
There you go.
Oh, bam.
We're
this
in.
Is it.
Done. Make it happen, people. And if you can't, we will. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, we got Astros to talk about when we get back.
Because
talk about a pit in my stomach that really pissed me off last night. I was having a perfectly good evening, and I wasn't even looking at Twitter. And then all of a sudden, I saw the ninth inning of the Astros game, and it crapped on my entire evening. And then I went, oh, they salvaged some things, only to crap on me again before I went to bed. I was not happy. So we can talk about Astros and a whole lot more as we get going on the usual suspects. If you want to join us, as always, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more in hour number one. It is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still going through hour number one of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel in the studio talking about a lot of things, getting into some Astros. I mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. It pissed me off last night watching Wade Miley pitch his ass off for eight innings. threw a no-no through, what, 5 1/3 or 5 2/3, a one-hitter through 6 or 7, gave up a hit here or there. The next thing you know, he's in the ninth inning, and he's going back out there at 90-some pitches. And I know we all love A.J. Hinch. He's a smart man. And I know that Jeff Bagwell, who was fantastic, by the way, in the booth, and Jeff Blum were talking about how much it means for the team to give a guy like Wade Miley the chance to get his third-ever career complete game and shutout and all these different things. But the minute he put the first guy on, I would have already had Osuna walking to the mound because then he couldn't lose. The worst he could do was a no decision. Instead, he gives up a hit after that, and then Osuna comes in, and boom, home run, and your whole evening of just positive after positive to talk about is completely gone.
I saw that as the prevailing thought.
I'm not trying to kill AJ. I'm fine with letting him go back out there. I just, once you put a guy on base, it's always within the realm of thinking with a manager. As long as your pitcher won't take the loss,
but you don't pitch, you don't manage like that. I think you're managing passively that way. I think he was being he's letting a guy go out there that up until that inning had pitched his ass off, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's letting him go out there and earn that complete game. He's letting him go out there and earn it. And, you know, he got behind, he got in some trouble. So you think, all right, I'm going to go to my hammer. I'm going to go to the guy that I've been counted on all year. And sometimes those guys get hammered. And instead of being the hammer, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. He blew his fourth save of the year, Osuna did. It sucks because it's a division game. But again, it's frustrating when you have a lead. And we were watching. I was actually watching I was at the Improv watching Bring the Funny, and Huggins was there with me, and he would run out and check the score, and he would come back in, and he'd be like, they're going to the ninth, they're up 2-0, going to the ninth. And I was like, ah. He's like, well, I think they're going to pull Miley. It looks like they're bringing in Osuna, and you know, Miley got, there's men on base. And you know what my thought was? I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, ugh. You hate getting that far in and then having to turn it over to the bullpen. And it happens sometimes.
That's the first time all year Osuna gave up an inherited base runner and allowed him to score.
Well, when you look at the earned runs in the game, I mean, only one of those was Osuna's, and it was the guy that hit the home run. The other two weren't his responsibility necessarily, but that doesn't matter. There's no guarantee that he comes in and gets those guys out.
True.
So, I mean, it sucks and all that, but I'm disappointed for Miley because you could. Huggins said his face when Osuna gave up home run, he was not happy.
He slapped the rail, he walked away. And normally you're not supposed to do that because the word will get back to teammates and you're not supposed to show your teammates up. But this was just from the heart.
Was it showing up Osuna?
No.
Or was it mad because two of those three runs were his?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more of the like, fact that he got the opportunity to finish it. And because he put two on, he put Osuna in that predicament and it didn't work out.
Because that's what I wanted to know. And that's why I couldn't wait to find out from you is because you're right. That dynamic of, oh, now Osuna's like, well, bitch, you should have got him out and I wouldn't have had to be
here. Remember,
was
it a year ago when Altuve or someone bobbled a ball and McCullers got mad? No, someone else bobbled it and it cost McCullers something or other. And he showed him up by really bitching about it. And Altuve, who never says anything, pulled him aside and got in up in his ass and was like, you don't do that.
You don't do that. And so I think what Miley was probably, what I hope, and he's, I mean, this is a team full of really good dudes. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of controversy in that locker room. Their chemistry is outstanding. I imagine that Wade Miley felt disappointed in one, that, like you said, he put Osuna in that position, and two, that he didn't go in there and finish it off and get the complete game and close it out himself. And you had to rely on Osuna and all that comes into play. And there goes another win. And you pitch a gem of a game and then you lose it in the ninth. By losing it, I mean, you lose your control. You lose the ability to get guys out. It probably sucked. And I would be the same way. But I don't necessarily, well, I hope it wasn't him directing that at Osuna. Otherwise, though, I mean, look, it's one game. I talked about the fact that they've got, 10 more games with this team?
10, yep.
No big deal, but when you're up and it's a division game and it's a team that's chasing you, man, you really want to get those wins.
And again, it leaves a mark, like you said, double stuffed because of the fact that it is a division game, and you could have really distanced yourself and kept pouring it on. And again, we said this the other day, but I was big on this. Ever since the Mariznick rebuttal in Anaheim, they hadn't lost. And they shouldn't have lost last night. And that would have been seven in a row, where you were just like, that could have been a signature. It still is a big moment for this team. But they were just cruising along, and everything was clicking. And that just kind of was a little fly in the ointment that pissed me off. Here's a bigger issue for you, though, to talk about, because I wanted to run this one by you. I'm fine with all the coach speak and all of the, hey, believe what I say, nothing going on here. But if you sit Ryan Pressly for an entire series and he's not the first guy warming up in the eighth, I got real concerns about what's going on right now with Ryan Pressly.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because as much as you love Will Harris, I'm just telling you, when we get past the seventh and we're looking at the eighth and the ninth, there are only two options for me for each of those innings, one for each one of them. And Pressly, if you're not warming up, I don't care what A.J. Hinch tells me. I don't care that everybody said everything's fine. That's a red flag for me.
What, that last night he wasn't warming up?
The fact that, okay, I get it that you're giving him the entire Rangers series off because he's had a lot of work, if that's what in truth was happening.
Right.
But if that's the case, he's more than well rested. He should be the first guy ready to go after you cross that threshold of the sixth, seventh inning.
Well, here's the thing, though. So you're not going to bring him in an 11-1 game.
I get that.
Because
it was an extra 2-0 game.
But last night, you're not turning it over in the ninth with runners on to anyone except your closer.
What I'm saying is, at any one time, if you're going to have a guy up that isn't Osuna, it shouldn't be Will Harris. It should be Pressly.
But so, well, I can't say I agree.
Because it sends a red flag to me. Look, if they whether bringing, he got no, in the listen, game or not, but he should be warming up.
No, I would agree with you if Miley pitched seven innings,
right,
and he doesn't go, or he goes out there in the eighth and puts two men on, and that's when A.J. Hinch is like, well, that's it. He's done. He gave us seven strong. There's two men on base. I'm bringing in Ryan Pressly. It's a high-leverage situation. He's going to get us to the ninth, and then Osuna comes in and closes this out, because that's been the M.O. all year. So I get that. It's the ninth. I mean, there's one one guy that owns the ninth inning on this team.
I agree. I totally agree, and I'm with you. But what I was referring to was not the ninth inning. The eighth inning, I think it was, when Miley got into trouble, and he did end up getting out of it.
Okay.
But he was behind in most of the counts. He had two runners on. And I'm not seeing Ryan Pressly anywhere. And I think that without, and again.
Did anybody warm up?
Yeah, Will Harris.
Will Harris was warming up in the eighth?
Yeah. And so that's what really sent the red flag to me going, now, wait a minute. He took an entire series off. Whether you go to him or not, the bullet in the chamber that I want coming in next, if it isn't going to be Wade Miley finishing this thing, is my expert in the eighth inning and in high leverage.
I didn't know, because like I said, I think it was the eighth inning.
Yep.
So to clarify,
right,
Miley's in a little bit of trouble in the eighth. They flash to the bullpen and it's Will Harris.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's concerning. What's going on?
I need to know.
He just missed the entire Rangers series. He got to sit in 11-1 win against the A's in the previous game. If it becomes a high leverage situation in the eighth, absolutely Ryan Pressly needs to be the guy.
And I'm looking at faces in the bullpen that are sitting there on the side. I'm looking at the guys that are watching the monitors that are normally going to be next up to get on a mound. I don't see Ryan Pressly anywhere.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that.
Maybe we make a few calls and see what's going on, if anybody knows, because I'm with you. That could be a huge deal.
Yeah. Because you already lost Josh James, because he's going on the IL with shoulder issues. So suddenly that bullpen that was so staunch is starting to look like the starting rotation options a year later, after being one of the deepest starting rotations in baseball. So with the trade deadline looming, again, a relief pitcher may be something that they should address.
Texter had a good point. We'll bring that up. And then I think we buried the lead on this whole game. Let's talk about that, too.
Okay, let's do it. Hour number one in the book. Still 2 hours to go with the big show. Plenty more opportunities for you to get involved. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, and watch Justin Verlander do what he does and give up another home run. Oh, it was foul. Okay. ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.